The sun was bright and warm on their faces as Cooper and Wesley slowly squinted their eyes open. The smell of smoked fish and warm bread filled the cabin. Wesley and Cooper both started to stand up. Beach Guy and James peered over to them from the table.
About time.
James laughed.
Morning, guys.
Oh, good morning.
Cooper said groggily as he scratched his head and peered out the window. They were at a new dock, and the view of a beautiful town stretched out in front of them. The buildings were white and light brownish, surrounded by tropical foliage. Some of the trees were oddly colored, red, orange, and purple, as well as your typical green trees and bushes. It seemed the town rose up on a large hill. Cooper could see how the streets and buildings curved upwards, giving the town an even more majestic look.
What's for breakfast?
Wesley said, rubbing his eyes.
Smoked fish, fresh fried eggs and down the street, and some fresh bread.
Beach Guy said as he cut another slice of bread from a loaf on the table.
Come on now, eat up, and we'll make our way into town afterwards.
James said, pulling out a chair. Cooper noticed they were drinking something that smelled really good. He noticed steam coming from the cups, maybe some type of coffee.
What's that?
Cooper said, pointing to the warm drink as he took a seat at the table. Beach Guy reached over and poured him a steaming glass from a worn steel thermos.
It's called chafat, made from the purple chafat plant.
Beach Guy said, as he pointed out the window towards a purple plant in the distance. Cooper lifted the glass and took a sip. His taste buds were instantly engaged. It tasted like warm vanilla with an aromatic flowery lilac aftertaste. It was a relaxing taste, but after a couple more sips, Cooper could feel the warm liquid coursing through his blood. The groggy, tired feeling vanished and was replaced with a surge of warm energy in all of his limbs. This stuff is incredible, Cooper thought. The four of them filled their stomachs and packed the leftovers in a couple satchels that they wore on their backs. James came up from below deck with a couple bags of coins that he tied on his belt near his sword. The air was salty, thick, and humid. The surrounding jungle gave off aromas of exotic flowers and lush greens. The boys began walking into town from the dock under a big sign that said, "Welcome to Stoneville." Like Summer City, there were an assortment of exotic-looking individuals. The boys noticed a family of the pig-human creatures outside a house having breakfast. They waved at the boys. The boys waved back.
What are they?
Wesley asked in a hushed voice.
Pukul snorts. They come from an island far south from here. They're our friends and allies.
Beach Guy replied. The boys noticed a lot of the reptilian people as well, or scallids as James had called them. Cooper couldn't help but remember the passage from the journal about carrying anti-venom. James noticed Cooper's visibly nervous demeanor as they passed a group of scallids.
Don't worry, the ones that live here are friendly,
he said in a comforting tone. Off of the main street, the boys went down a winding road that slowly became quieter as they got further from the town center. The jungle was thicker around these houses. Smells of smoky food filled the humid air. Locals stared at them from the porches. Some waved in a friendly manner. Others just stared curiously. Wesley thought about his clothes he was wearing for the first time. Maybe a spaceship shirt made him stand out more than he wanted. The need to blend in was stronger than ever. At the very end of the street was a short tannish hut with black framed windows. There was a rock wall surrounding it and a rock walkway leading up to the front door. A small garden hugged the walkway, full of strange fruits and vegetables. The four of them walked through the entrance down the pathway to a dark wooden door. James gave it a good knock. A few moments passed, and someone looked through a peephole on the door. A voice bellowed out,
"Bradley and James! My boys!"
"Benito!"
James exclaimed as the two hugged. Beach Guy gave him a hug next.
"I've missed you boys,"
the watchmaker said.
"We've missed you too."
"These are our friends,"
Beach Guy said, as the man looked Cooper and Wesley up and down warmly.
"Yes, of course. Welcome, welcome. Any friends of the boys are friends of mine. Come on in,"
the watchmaker said as he gestured them inside and closed the door. The house was small but cheerfully colored, warm lavender walls with white accents. Cooper noticed how clean and tidy everything was. Watches and clocks lined the walls of various designs and sizes. Some were very oddly shaped and colored. Cooper also noticed a series of bronze and gold medals next to a wooden ship replica. The medals were encased in a light wooden frame and bore the same emblem of the two crossed swords they had seen last night on the ship sail.
"What's the emblem mean?"
Cooper asked. The watchmaker, who was now sitting in a big comfy chair, looked up at Cooper, his face more curious than before.
"Where'd you say your friends are from again?"
the watchmaker asked.
"We didn't say,"
James said from the corner, studying a clock on the wall.
"It's kind of a weird story,"
Cooper said, pulling the watch out of his pocket. The watchmaker's eyes got big as he stared at the golden watch in Cooper's hand, recognizing the emblem and etchings on the back.
"By the bones of Draco Malley, where on earth did you get that from?"
"That watch transported us from our world to this world,"
Wesley said. He was sitting on a kitchen stool near the living room, helping himself to some bread and cheese, and a pitcher of what looked like lemonade.
"We're not sure why or how,"
he added, as he continued to put food in his mouth.
"Please tell me more about this world you're from, and exactly what happened, detail by detail,"
the watchmaker said. The boys sat on a couch and went into great details about their world for the first time. Cars and planes, computers, cell phones and video games. Beach Guy's ears perked up when they detailed their favorite video games and how much fun they were. They explained how their father fixed watches, much like Benito, and how they snuck in his room and borrowed the pocket watch to play with. How the cardboard spaceship made a loud whirring noise, and how shortly after they had arrived, they were followed by Captain Krassel to the Blue House on Haw Street, where they had learned the watch belonged to Beach Guy and James' father. Nobody said anything while the boys took turns detailing their adventure. This was the first time James and Beach Guy had heard the whole story of where their friends came from and how bizarre and strange their story really was. By the end of the story, almost an hour had gone by, and the clocks in the house all started to go off at once. The platter of the delicious cheese and bread was devoured, as was the pitcher of the lemonade-type drink.
"Well, boys, I think it's time I take a look at that watch,"
the watchmaker said as he hobbled over to Cooper.
"You boys are welcome to join me in my shop,"
he said, as he pointed out the living room window towards a building in the backyard.
"I'll stay here. I need to catch up on some sleep, if that's okay,"
said James.
"Of course,"
the watchmaker said happily.
"You know where the guest room is."
The watchmaker was a large, statured man. Like Beach Guy and James, his skin was a dark tan. Despite being older, he still had a head full of black hair and a small, dark mustache and goatee. His build was muscular and lean and seemed quite healthy, other than a very prominent limp when he walked. He talked with an accent and had a very cheerful, warm presence. Beach Guy and the boys followed him out to his workshop. The workshop was dark and cool, a welcome relief from the steamy, humid air outside. The shop was small and seemed messy compared to the house they were just in. There were pieces of gears and watch parts all over the main work table and a different assortment of tools. The watchmaker put on a very large, funny-looking headpiece with glasses attached to it and sat down on a wooden stool. He fumbled with the lenses on the glasses until he found the right kind of magnification he wanted and began tinkering away.
"How did your dad and Benito know each other?"
Wesley asked.
"They served in the United Swords Alliance together,"
Beach Guy explained, pointing to a symbol on a nearby grandfather clock. It was the same symbol the boys kept seeing. Two swords crossed against each other.
"Oh, so that's what that is,"
Cooper remarked.
"Like a military symbol."
"Yes. Benito and my dad both served in two separate wars together to protect from an invasion from our enemies in the south."
"Who are your enemies?"
"Like our alliance, there are a couple groups mixed into one. The Silverbeard Guild, the Wolfrans from Mundra, and the Tareks from the Highlands are the main groups,"
Beach Guy said.
"Wait, who are all these?"
Cooper started to say, when suddenly the watchmaker yelled out,
"Boys, great news. I figured out the problem.